The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
Welcome back to Flourish and Fulfilled with Sophie. Now, you may be looking at the title thinking, what is this? But the whole purpose of this podcast is to have a really raw, organic conversation and the type of conversations that you would normally get between my girlfriends and I. And this is definitely encompassing of that. Something that I have been a little bit quiet about, I guess, on social media that has been such an incredible experience for me was yoni mapping. Now, as the name suggests, it is definitely a vulnerable style of modality, massage, all-encompassing trauma release, and getting fingered by a chick. So I can understand the reservations going into this episode. However, bear with me, you may learn some things. And my whole goal for this episode is that you walk away with a little bit more education and open-mindedness when it comes to all things sexual experiences. Now, I do want to put a little disclaimer on this, is that I did a lot of research before going to this particular therapist. And I have worked with her quite a few times personally, and I would highly suggest that if this is an experience that you want to go down, is to make sure that you do talk to your friends and seek some personal feedback to make sure that it is not only a qualified therapist, but somebody who has given you firsthand experience recommendations. So this week, I'd like to go through my top three and bottom three. This is something that I'm wanting to do on every single episode. And I think it just summarizes how my week is going. And I do this with the kids every single day. And I would encourage you to do this within your own friends, family, and relationships. So the top three is kind of like a gratitude moment or things that you're really happy or proud of. And the bottom three are hardships that you've overcome or things that are grinding your gears or lessons that you want to learn from. So my top three this week is that my parents are coming up from Adelaide. Finally, the borders are opening up and I'm able to have my family here. So we're all very excited about that one. Secondly, I have just finished and signed off on a project that has taken probably 18 months. And that's such a good feeling when you finally see something come to fruition. You're kind of like, thank God that is done. And I love it. The third one is the girls are obsessed with Pony Club. I have these beautiful little horse riding girls. And it's funny because we tried to push them into gymnastics and dance and all these random different things. And they just weren't having a bar of it. And this has been the only thing that they have wanted to do. And they love it. So that's my top three. Now, bottom three. Oh, wow. Okay. Hearing the ADF's comments on the four A's. So being alone after midnight with alcohol in your system and the attractiveness just killed me for gender equality, sexual, everything. So that was definitely my top bottom. My second bottom would be preparing for this particular episode of the podcast, realizing how much of a lack of education that women actually had surrounding their bodies, personal pleasure and experiences, and I guess just them not understanding or even wanting to learn more and thinking that it was all about men's pleasure. So that was a massive one that it was really eye-opening for me. And the third one, which is really not that bad if this is my third bottom, I left my sheets on the line, which means I'm going to have no bed when I get home because it is bucketing down with rain today. So let's get into today's topic. Now, for today's topic, it is yoni mapping and the sex ed we didn't know we needed. Now, today's guest is Carlin from The Erotic Alchemist, and she is an erotic educator and yoni mapping therapist. She's actually also a breathwork coach who has been working for over 20 years. But I guess more importantly for myself, I have personal firsthand experience with her, so I know just how amazing she is. All right, let's get into it. So today's main topic or theme is yoni mapping and I guess the sex education that we didn't know we even needed. Now, obviously, I know you very well and I have experienced firsthand your forte expertise, but for everyone out there listening, what is yoni mapping?
Yoni mapping specifically is a holistic women's health modality that involves full body massage that also includes internal and external yoni mapping.
Now, what does that even mean? What is a yoni? What is a yoni?
Okay, yoni, yoni is another word for vagina.
Pussy?
Or pussy. Or the C word, if you like to use that.
There's a lot of words we can use.
Lady garden, foo-foo, whatever. And yeah, so that's a Sanskrit name. So a lot of practitioners and people find it a little less clinical than vagina, but some people also see it as a bit of cultural appropriation. So we're just moving through that. But anyway, the yoni is the whole external and internal vaginal space. So vulva, vagina, womb, ovaries.
So the entire parts.
The whole area. Yeah.
Awesome. Now, how did you even get into yoni mapping? I obviously know this story and I have trusted you and I've been here before and I have had the most amazing experiences with you. But for those that don't know, how did you get into this?
Well, I have been specifically yoni mapping for just over 3 years. But it actually started way back with breathwork. Yeah. So I've been doing breathwork for like 20 years. And that led me on all of these different interesting paths. So the first one was checking out birth. So I became a doula. And then I myself had this really huge, ridiculously cosmic sexual awakening, spontaneous kind of thing happen when I was about 35. And that's when I was like, I've got to learn more about this and share it. So I started doing tantric bodywork for men when I was living in the UK, and that was interesting. I think I want to work with women. So I went and did a longer training with a woman called Dr. Shakti Milan, and she teaches more traditional tantra and specifically women's sexual awakening. So that was an amazing training, but it still didn't do the actual internal yoni work.
Yeah.
So when I got back to Australia, Bonnie Bliss, who she did the method that I teach and share, we made friends and started hanging out and doing things together. And she said, I'm going to do this yoni mapping training. Do you want to be on it? Will you teach the breathwork part and do you want to learn it? And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we went on this. I helped her on the training and, yeah, had this amazing experience with her and learned yoni mapping, and that was 3 years ago. So, yeah.
It's so amazing the way that you say that when I picked this up, I had to tell the world and tell everybody, and that was my experience within you. Now, I've had more than one yoni mapping session with you, but on my first one I felt like it was one of those pivotal moments of just, I wanted to tell every single person I saw. I rang all of my girlfriends, and it was an experience that I had to share because I felt like every single woman not only needed to know what I had learned, but how I felt after. And that was just huge. And I think that walking away from that first session, it was more of an educational session for me, being raised in a Jehovah's Witness household and having a lot of that shame, I guess, or privacy or hush-hush in regards to your private parts was definitely something that when I went in to see you, I was shaking so much. I couldn't even sign my form. I was like, oh, my God. I'm about to get fingered by a chick. Like, that was my, I was like, I can't believe I'm doing this. And then when I walked out, I walked, literally walked out, sat in my car and rang all of my girlfriends and was like, oh my God, you have to do this. And since, how many of my friends have gone to see you?
Quite a few, yes.
And every single time they ring me, either in tears or just so grateful for the experience. And I think that I know that within myself, my resistance was probably around being put in a vulnerable position, as well as the fact of having someone look downstairs and it not being a normal or being in a different kind of way. And I think that having that education that you taught me was so important because it A, made me realize that I was so normal, but also taught me more in 3 hours than what I had learned in 31 years.
Scary, isn't it?
Huge. And after that, I put it onto social media and I said to my followers, how many of the females out there can correctly label their genitalia? 73% said no. And that's huge, especially given my demographic of females is 25 to 35 year old women.
Yeah.
And that's a massive, massive number. So if there was, say, a few different points in regards to education surrounding a woman's genitalia or yoni, what is it that you would like women to know? There's a lot of things that I think that I walked away with learning, like the orgasm centers. I never ever knew about like the cervix, for example.
Yeah. Yeah. There's many in there.
Can you share some of those little points?
Yeah. Well, we aren't educated.
No.
We're coming out of a very long period of time where our genitals and sex has been labelled as sinful or shameful or dirty or wrong or naughty.
Yeah.
And that takes a long time to get through. And therefore, I find a lot of women just sort of cut off from that area. There's also this expectation when we become sexually ticked off, like, tick, you can go and do it now. It's like, oh, great. But and everyone just pretends like they know what to do and what they're doing and no one has any idea whatsoever.
No.
No. And we're not encouraged to go and learn about it. So something that I love to share with women is that we are all unique. Just like our face and the rest of our body is unique, so is everyone's yoni, vagina. And I think we've also been like led to believe that it should look a certain way, which is not helpful. And actually what is a little bit scary is that labiaplasty is the biggest rising plastic surgery.
Well, this was something that we had first discussed because I didn't masturbate until I was 30.
Yeah.
And watched my first porno when I was 30 and was like, my vagina does not look like that after four kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, keep going.
No. And I was going to mention that before too, is that now that the education is still really, really low and bad. And so kids are just going and educating themselves via porn. And that is not the right education at all because it doesn't speak about women's pleasure unless you're specifically looking for it. So feminist porn, if anyone's looking for it, it's really
good. Feminist porn, there we go. Show notes.
all it is about is cock and vagina.
Yeah.
And it's not about slowing it down or female pleasure. And it's all about the money shot as well. So the miseducation is really, really intense. And also, but how a woman's genitals are supposed to look. So a lot of porn stars in mainstream porn are snipped.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and so now a lot of young women are wanting to go and have their inner labia tucked in. It's also apparently it's still illegal to show. So you can show everything else, but you can't act. It's illegal to show in film the inner labia.
How ridiculous. It's like the whole nipple sensing. Like even on children, no nipples. Yeah. Yet the boys are allowed to wear their boardies, but girls' nipples do not exist.
Yeah.
I know that I was absolutely blown away when you told me when the entire clit stimulation was discovered.
I know. So wasn't that 98?
Yes, insane, insane.
And it was actually discovered by a Australian female urologist, which is like
what a legend.
Yeah, Helen O'Connell. O'Connell. And yeah, they discovered it by first of all checking themselves out.
Yeah.
And then she was able to actually do some proper anatomy on cadavers and went, whoa, hang on a second. There's this whole shape of it, which is the glands, the shaft, the legs that end in the bulbs.
Yeah.
And so that was in 1998, and it was only put into anatomy textbooks in 1999.
And that just goes to show that women's pleasure was never a priority in any of the medical research.
No.
And I know that, like, with the conversations that I have within my girlfriends, which is something that I'm really wanting to be able to add in this podcast, is have the conversations that we're having behind closed doors in a really open format for thousands of people to be able to listen to.
Yeah.
And a lot of these conversations are looking like sex is just about getting their partner off. It's never about their own pleasure, or they don't even enjoy it. And it's always been taught from the moment that they first started being sexually active of – get the male off. It's never about the female.
Yes. Yeah. It's amazing how many women that come to see me say that very thing. Oh, I just always thought that it was about the men's pleasure, and I just kind of do whatever I need to do to make sure that they have the maximum amount of pleasure. And then if I get something, that's really good. And
yeah.
they say it, it's still a
massive thing,
a massive, you know, programming, which is just, we are moving out of it, but it's only really been fast tracking in the last maybe 5 or 10 years. And so we've got a little ways to go.
Yeah.
And it's kind of also, like, I'm a little bit concerned that it's kind of becoming a super trend as well. And people are going, oh, it has to be like this. Whereas this is the one area that we should take the pressure and the goal orientation off it. Like, every part of our lives is, you know, success and achieve and do the things and, yeah, you know. And this is, it's so easy to put that onto our sexuality as well. It's like, oh, I need to have a G-spot orgasm. I need to be able to squirt. Why can't I squirt? Oh, hang on a minute. There's 57 types of orgasms, but I'm only having two. What's wrong with me? It's like, oh, my God, drop it. Just
all the pressure.
Let it go.
More pressure.
Let it go. Because the way to pleasure and orgasm, apart from all your spots, knowing the spots and activating them, is relaxing. So a woman needs a lot of time. She needs half an hour to 45 minutes. There's a lovely little stat that I like to share. Sorry if there are guys in the room. but it's really good that actually Australian men, they go for the longest in the world. They go for 3 minutes.
Congratulations,
the rest
guys.
Of the world, then it goes for two. But that there is a little bit less needed for guys to kind of be ready to go.
Yeah.
They do benefit from more time, but women actually really need it. We need our nervous systems to wind down. We need our brains to slow down. We need our minds to empty. And then we need to have, like, stimulation over the whole body, not just the yoni.
And I know that with that, it's the cervix that moves away from the entrance as well.
Yeah.
I only know that from you.
Yeah, no, she...
Are you surprised I learned that?
No, you've been a very good student, I have to say. No, the cervix is very, very alive. So she is the queen of the space in there. And she can actually move around wherever she likes. But when the yoni is fully aroused and the woman is fully aroused, the cervix will move up and out of the way to make more space for penetration of whatever that might be. So, yeah, she moves up.
And I know that the other thing that you taught me in regards to that is, like, every single spot has a different kind of pressure, stimulation, sort.
Yeah.
That they prefer. So, like, the cervix is almost a tapping. It's hard to, like, explain it.
A gentle pressure.
Yeah.
It's a gentle pressure that she likes.
Like tapping.
Yeah, sort of. It's a bit hard to do it when you're not,
isn't it? You have to
see.
Yeah, you have to verbalize it.
Gentle pressure that she likes. Not a pounding. So anything that's not pounding is really good. Gentle
for the
pressure.
Cervix.
That's why she moves up and out of the way, because then she still gets just that gentle, consistent pressure. And that's what wakes her up and aliveness her. And that's how the orgasmic energy and orgasms are able to happen through the cervix.
Yeah, okay.
But everyone's set up differently as well. So there's an awesome book I highly recommend every person reading it called Vagina by Naomi Wolf.
Okay.
She had to go on this personal journey to discover all these things about her vagina. But that has got a lot of information. Oh, I've totally lost track of what I was talking about.
No, that is totally fine. We were talking about orgasm centers, zones, the certain pressures.
Yeah. No, I've still lost it. Anyway.
Totally fine. Great book. We'll put that into the show notes.
It's great. Yeah. It's okay. Wonderful. Very, very informative.
So when I tell my girlfriends, random people, in regards to yoni mapping or yoni mapping, I have to literally spend 10 minutes explaining exactly what happens. And it's so hard for me to actually articulate, number one, the benefits, but number two, what they get from start to finish when they go there. Mm-hmm. And can you just give us a top line outline in regards to what to expect if you're going to get yoni mapping done?
With me?
Yes, with you. Yes. And that's a massive disclaimer as well, because this is such a vulnerable practice, and I do recommend that making sure that whoever you do go to is obviously licensed and experienced. But personally, I would choose somebody from firsthand experience of a girlfriend or a friend or a recommendation, just my own experience on that.
That's what I would always recommend as well.
Yeah.
So with me, yoni mapping is a 3-hour experience, and we start by talking first, and you know, I take information about, you know, your history of your connection to yourself, any children that you've had, any trauma that you may have had, and then we really just talk for a long time about where you're at, what's happening in your body, what's happening in your life, because that all adds in and matters. And that's also a time for us to connect.
Yeah.
So that's really important for us to connect, and we get a vibe for each other. More importantly, my client gets a vibe for me.
Yeah.
And then she gets a full body massage.
I can't tell you how good this massage is. Massage. Like the best massage of my life.
I know, that's what she said a couple of weeks ago. And including the belly and the breasts and a lot of pelvic work as well. So you know, rightly so, all of our other massages that we go for, they don't include the pelvis, and that's for a very good reason. But it's so nice for that to be included, and the belly and the breasts. But also with the yoni mapping, we want to include the whole body before we go anywhere near the yoni. And so after the pelvic massage, then we move to the external and the internal yoni massage, and that's where I ask permission. So that's really, really important as well, because a lot of us have overridden what's really going on for her down there, and we just do what we want. Even when it comes to self pleasure, just like, do you know what? I want to get off, so I'm going to do this.
Wham bam, thank you, ma'am.
That's right, and we don't, which is fine. You know, that is not a problem, except if we're like almost addicted to it or constantly doing it, or we're just overriding her all the time. So it's amazing how nice it is to ask permission and for her to be able to respond.
And you actually do that quite a few times throughout as well.
Yes. So before the external and before the internal. And it's so slow. And the whole point of the mapping, so mapping is that we create a map. So that's why we go through all the different zones. And through the yoni mapping is where I talk to you a little bit more, talk to my clients a little bit more and ask them where they are, I tell them where I am. What are they feeling? What are they experiencing? What's going on? And there is no right or wrong. There is no should. I'm not sitting there thinking, oh, she should be feeling this and this is what should be happening. I'm not trying to make anything sexual happen. I'm not trying to make orgasms happen. I'm not trying to make a healing happen. This is a space for a woman to really feel into herself. And that's the journey we go on. And so the map is like, okay, I'm on your G-spot. What do you notice? All sorts of different things. Everyone is built differently. That's what I was going to say before. All women have a different neural pathway for pleasure.
Yeah.
You can create new ones because sometimes they get blocked or damaged, but we have this kind of set way. So some people are really love their G-spot being touched. Some people it's the A-spot. For some people it's the entrance. For some people it's the cervix. It's different all the time. So that's what we do. We go on this guided tour of the yoni.
And I know that you mentioned before that when you are talking to a client when they come in, things like trauma or whether they've had children or things like that are things that you are looking for or wanting to discuss or open up further. Is that a benefit here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Because what I've found over and over and over again is that the yoni, the body, but particularly the yoni, holds so much. So all of the experiences she's had have left some kind of an imprint energetically, psychologically, physically. And when we go in to this sacred space together and we've kind of started, we've talked a little bit about what's been happening for her and for the client, we kind of bring it to the surface. And what happens is rather than going, I've never had anyone go into a traumatic trigger or re-experience. What happens is it comes up and it's like dissolves away. So these things that were so tightly held and carefully guarded melt away.
Yeah. And when you say about the mapping, like I know for me personally, I've never had somebody be like, so I'm touching your G-spot now. How does that feel? Yeah. That's never happened. And so it really does make that connection within your brain of, oh, wow, okay, this is what that feels like. I enjoy it. I don't enjoy it. It feels numb. It feels tingly. Yeah. And the other thing I know that obviously because of firsthand experience is that if it does feel numb, what's the process that you follow and why do you do that?
It can feel lots of things, and numb is one of them, ouchie is one of them, pleasure is one of them. So the thing is, whatever she's feeling in that moment, she might not feel in the next moment in these different places. So it's really important for us to acknowledge all of the things that she does feel or that we are feeling there, because just that acknowledgement and then being there with like two sets of awareness but also this sacred touch.
Yeah.
It starts to melt away whatever might be there. And numbness is a feeling.
Yeah.
So it's good to acknowledge all of these feelings. So and once we've been there, quite often we come back over that place and it's like, oh, it's not numb anymore or it's not sore anymore.
You can feel the blood pressure coming back to it. That's such a weird one, that sensation.
So we bring more aliveness and blood flow to the area, which means more sensation. We go very, very slowly as well. Slowness is a really, really important factor as well.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is like at no stage did I ever, not once, feel uncomfortable or feel like I wasn't able to say, oh, I'm not comfortable, I don't want to do this. And that's something that you're really big on, that I can imagine if it wasn't somebody that you were comfortable with, having the experience to be able to say no is probably a massive thing. So
Yeah. And we really need to learn how to say no. You
know, yeah.
Boundaries and consent are hugely important, and because we do override them so often, and they do, that's another thing we need to learn, what our personal boundaries are.
Yeah.
And it's that I do make that space and make that known in the space that
you do.
This is your space. We're not going to do anything you don't want to do. If I'm doing something that doesn't feel good, tell me, we'll stop, we'll change it, we'll move, you know. It's and we don't have to go and work with the yoni if she says no.
Yeah.
If that was the initial intention, but we get to the yoni, it's like, actually, no. Then we do more body massage and we have a chat and we'll see, maybe next time she'll be ready.
Yeah. And that's a really, really powerful thing as well, is that you never feel like you can't say no. So that's a massive one.
A safe place is really, really, really important.
When you're doing a yoni mapping session, what I guess is, what's the biggest or best outcome for you? What are you wanting a client to walk away feeling?
Feeling that they're whole again, because the pelvic zone is like this mystery zone. Quite often it's just like we just won't go there, or I don't know what's happening down there. I'm just going to pretend like it doesn't exist. And then over and over again, women just feel like, oh, I'm home. I'm finally home. I feel properly whole. And like women usually feel just really, really grounded and relaxed and alive. That's what they feel. And I'm just like, yeah, it's amazing.
It's interesting because I'm so glad that I can speak from personal experience on it, because I think my initial perceptions of what I thought it was going to be like versus what the first time was versus the second time, it's been very, very different. And my initial perception was going to be that this is a very highly sexualized experience. And the more research that I did, it wasn't until I found your profile, and what actually led me to you was the fact that you had had a child and had birth trauma. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was really important because I had fourth or third degree tears with my first son, and that was something I really wanted to work on. Mm-hmm. So how does yoni mapping release trauma? How is that possible?
Well, the body holds trauma. Mm. So as I was saying before, the body and the yoni, if there has been some kind of interruption to the natural flow through a tear or a violation, then the body holds it. So by going in there and taking our time and basically doing the opposite of what happened at the time that the trauma occurred, that allows a healing to happen. So, and just that space to actually, for a woman to feel into what's going on for her, instead of thinking like something's wrong or oh, it's disgusting. Oh, I know I've been snipped. I must look terrible down there, or, you know, the terrible thing happened. So I must be broken and I'm all wrong. And then this beautiful, sacred, slow paced consent, a place of consent where there's beautiful music, you know, there's soft touch, the whole body is touched. There's this opportunity to go, oh, hang on a second, I can let this go now. Yeah. Or I can integrate it into myself where it sits in a healthy place rather than a distorted place.
Yeah.
So the healing happens through both of us going there together and going really slowly and listening and feeling and allowing the trauma to be dissolved.
It is definitely the most healing space. And I think part of that is the feeling of being held without having to give. And I know that particular last session was very much that I haven't put it out there publicly, but the guy that I'm dating, we were like, we're going to do it together to be able to have this experience of being held and teaching someone of how to hold a woman without having to give, and how important that is, that even once a month of having that practice of being entirely held without having to give back in any way, shape or form.
It's really, really important. It's really important to have different forms of intimacy, particularly for women, but guys get into it too. But women need to know that intimacy does not automatically equal penetrative sex.
Yeah.
Because we get this thought in our head, okay, he's going to kiss me, he's going to touch my boobs, he's going to do that, and then I can go back and do what I was doing before.
Yep.
And we prepare ourselves for the event, whereas when we make the time to just give intimacy and pleasure for the sake of receiving, then we really get our nervous system completely rewires itself.
It's an entire shift, isn't it?
It's an entire shift. A lot of trust gets built between the two partners as well, that touch doesn't mean this.
Yep.
Touch is about actually making the other person feel acknowledged and seen and felt and feeling good.
Yeah.
And women really need it. They really need, like, once a month just a session where they receive and they don't have to give back. So body massage. And it doesn't end in sex. Even if she begs for it, please don't give it.
Well, this is
have a break, have a gin and tonic, and then come back to it.
Later, tomorrow.
Yes, exactly.
It's interesting. I last week did a poll in regards to feeling pressured during sex, because someone had asked the question, this is a little bit off topic.
Sorry.
Someone had asked the question, does going on a date with somebody equal that you must have sex with them? And I was like, no, it does not. And they were like, well, I always feel pressured if I go on a date that they want something in return. Mm. And it goes back to that giving and then expecting back. Mm. And so I asked the question, have you ever felt pressured to return sex from a like act of giving? 93% on my Instagram. Huge, huge numbers.
Yeah, it's very, very common that there is that pressure to just do what is required.
Yeah.
And I think it's just one of those old school condition programs that if someone does nice things for you, then you should do something back, or being the good girl or the pleaser. Like, we are very, women are still conditioned to believe to be the good girls and the pleasers, and we do what we're told and we do the things. And, yeah, it's really outdated. So
the other one was faking orgasms and mm-hmm. pretending like you're happy in your sex life, or not being able to orgasm during penetrative
yeah.
sex. I'm glad we got there.
Yeah.
And that was huge statistics as well. Why do you think that is?
I think, again, it's just old school conditioning. Yeah. And I think also because it's still this lack of education, a lot of women still don't know how their own bodies function. They don't know how to please themselves. They don't know how to pleasure themselves. They might have some very quick, easy tools, or they'll go for the clitoris, or they'll use their little buzzy fun tools. But unless we know how our anatomy works and our pleasure anatomy, then we can't give that information to our partners. And our partners like to think that they know what they're doing, because it's, you know, they don't want to think that they don't know, but we need the education. We need to learn.
This was literally me to you after my first session. And I turned around and I was like, we need to do sex ed. We need to have this in every single school. But then you've also got that thing of, right now my son is turning 14 in 2 weeks, and he is so immature emotionally that if you tried to have this conversation with him, it would literally be a thing of like, penis her, sex her. Yeah. And it's that emotional immaturity of not being able to actually educate correctly. But when is the right time, and how do we even do that within our children?
I think it needs to start really early.
Yeah.
And getting our children to understand that our bodies are built for pleasure.
Yeah.
And pleasure is okay. It's normal. It's natural. It's healthy. And to not do things like, when they're naked, make a point of it. Or when they touch themselves, make a point of it. And even I'm really aware of being, you know, sex positive, yoni positive, female empowerment positive. I have my 5-year-old girl, and when she is enjoying her body, I don't go, yeah, that's it, that's amazing, yeah, touch your yoni, it's like the best thing ever. I just smile to myself, and I just go, cool.
Yeah.
So we don't make a thing of it. We normalize it so that it's healthy, because it has been so distorted for so long, which is why things get freaky rather than just feeling like natural and normal. And then hopefully, and we need to know, we need to educate ourselves. So it's good if we don't have hang-ups, and if we know how our bodies work, and if we know how what we like in terms of pleasure. And then it's a very simple way to educate through how we are in ourselves. And I know with teenagers, it's always going to be difficult, because it's just the time in their life where parents are like, get away from me. Like, don't talk to me about
so
that.
Uncool. Yeah, I am like so the uncoolest person in the world.
Exactly. So we have to find interesting ways to kind of give them the information in such a way that they can receive it. So send them to some really cool teachers on Instagram, you know. Find the people that they can follow, and teach them about what's not healthy. So I say, have those conversations about, you know, porn is not – mainstream porn it's not education. It is not sex education. You're getting the wrong message there. Everyone's getting the wrong message, you know, and then there's wrong expectations everywhere. So, yeah, it's more like – a healthy sexuality, healthy nudity, healthy body image, self-confidence.
Yeah.
That's what I think we should be teaching our kids.
Yeah. We've got some really clear boundaries in my household in regards to this. So my 5-year-old daughters are nudists to the max. And anytime I even see a glimmer of those boys crinkle up their nose or look away or be disgusted, I'm like, but. And the other boundary that we have is tickling. So like if the girls are being tickled and they say stop, in my household, no one should ever have to say stop more than once. If they say stop, you stop.
Great.
And so little things like that are really encouraging to make sure that they're not, yeah, learning to be able to stop when they want somebody to stop, number one.
Yeah.
And also like if the boys walk into the bathroom and I'm naked, I don't shudder away or freak out. And they walk in and don't even notice I'm naked.
Yeah,
so that's something that I'm really proud of, even though a lot of people on social media are like, that's disgusting.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I'm like, whatever, I'm raising healthy children.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Now, I know that I did say this to you and I really, really can't wait and hope that this is what you end up doing, is online sex ed for adults, because it's just not around. Like, I know that you mentioned before about porn or like that's not a healthy way to learn, but as a woman, other than you, I had no idea. Like I had zero clue about my anatomy, my internal orgasms, anything, nothing at all. Yeah. So would that be something that you're interested in doing?
Absolutely, yeah.
Most definitely.
Yes, it's all in the pipeline, shall we say.
Yeah.
I'm doing a retreat actually in March, in the middle of March, called Erotic Enlightenment.
Yeah.
So, and that is basically, that's a women's retreat. So it is teaching women how to find their own authentic erotic frequency. Yes, we're going to be doing some self-pleasure, but we're going to be doing other things that arouse the erotic frequency so that they can feel it every single day, no matter what. You know, they can be enjoying their coffee and be like, oh, my God, that's so good, you know, or playing with the kids. I mean, yeah, let's take all the weirdness out of it. But it's pleasurable. Basically, it's pleasurable and it doesn't have to be sexual. So we can get into this idea that it's just about sex and it's not.
Yeah.
So I'll be offering that as an online course soon.
Amazing.
Yeah, a lot of online education is coming. I love working in person.
I know.
But that's not how the world's going and everyone needs to know.
It's just hard because I know that a lot of the people that will be listening at home can't have access to you.
Yep.
And I know that no one is built the same. And if they're looking for a yoni mapping therapist, it might not be the same experience as what I've personally had. And I don't want to send them down the rabbit hole of having a different experience. So I would definitely prefer that the listeners go directly to yourself to be able to experience that. So what is your Instagram, Facebook website? How can they get in touch with you?
Okay. So Carlin Digitalis on Facebook, The Erotic Alchemist on Instagram, and sacredalchemy.com.au.
And we'll put all that in the show notes.
I am a pretty busy person, but I love this work so much. You know, I'm so passionate about it. So I don't mind. Get in touch. And I'm doing workshops and I'm going to Tasmania. I'm going to Brisbane. I'm going to Sunshine Coast and probably to Melbourne as well. So I'm getting around. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so, so glad because I literally, as I have said so many times, wanted the whole world to know the moment that I left, and I'm so glad that you're able to do that a bit more.
Well, thanks for asking me. It's really like people like you have this experience. I mean, so many women do, but the wonderful thing is that you've got this beautiful community who really need to and will benefit from this information and these experiences.
I hope so.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining me, and yeah, hopefully lots of people will get in touch.
Thank you so much, Sophie. Really nice to be here.
In this segment of Bookworm, each week I choose a different book and I'll review it for you or let you know what I'm currently reading. This week I am reading a book called You're Not Listening, and it is such an eye-opener in regards to so many different elements, from social media to not being present when you're out to dinner with your friends. It's a really, really good book. Now, I am only halfway through, so I won't give you too much more information other than that. Now, this week's first episode is quite an eye-opener, and I'm assuming that a lot of you are going to have questions. So what we have done is we have set up a direct caller hotline where you can ring in and ask your questions that we will be able to answer for you. So if you have any questions in regards to today's episode, simply call 0756496851. On this podcast, I'll be discussing a whole bunch of different topics. If you want to continue the conversation, head to the Facebook group, Flourish and Fulfilled, or on Instagram. And don't forget, rate, subscribe, and review to continue listening to this podcast.